From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
I want to inform the Bolivian people and the whole world what the press already know, that a coup d'etat is underway.
That was Evo Morales, the former president, just recently re-elected of Bolivia, on national television on Sunday.
A coup d'etat against the government that was democratically elected with more than 60% of votes in the last elections. This is a coup d'etat against social movements, workers, a coup d'etat against patriotic professionals, the humble, the indigenous, against all of us who have brought a democratically led revolution. It's a coup d'etat by violent groups, by anti-democratic groups that don't respect democracy. They don't respect the results of the last national election, and above all, they don't respect social change.
A few hours later, President Morales made this announcement.
I'm resigning from my position as president in order that people from Cochabamba and the poor people are not trodden on anymore. I'm resigning for them. We don't want there to be confrontation. Earlier this morning, we met ministers, and we decided to resign in order for there to be new elections, all for Bolivia, all for life, all for the country.
Well, to try to make some sense out of this, we spoke with analyst Mark Sloboda, based in Moscow, from Moscow, via Skype on Monday. Another day, another U.S.-backed coup someplace. I'm glad to have you with us, Mark. Let's take a look at this, maybe in larger context, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of dark news, although it's nothing that shocking or surprising. You know, I think we were talking some 6 months ago when John Guaido, the U.S. declared president of Venezuela, was trying to seize control of that country,
right,
that I said that Bolivia is next on the chopping block. In many ways, it was actually it was the most dangerous example, because although Bolivia, you know, population wise, economy wise, is a small country, you know, and landlocked and lacking, you know, say the oil and the influence of Venezuela, or the, you know, the global political mission of Cuba, you know, throughout the Cold War. Evo Morales in Bolivia, the first indigenous president of that country, he was more dangerous in a way is that he was extremely successful. You know, with the fruits of socialism.
Right.
He had lifted 3 million Bolivians out of poverty. Bolivia was the fastest growing country in the region economically, and that is mostly due to the nationalization and the wise use of the natural resources of that country, most of which come from mining,
right,
the mining of metals and rare earth minerals. Had long been part of Bolivia's economy, but had been in private hands, and so hadn't been used to elevate the standard of living, you know, or even bring education or basic, you know, services such as health, and then, you know, being able to see a doctor or go to a hospital to most of the Bolivian population, particularly the rural population, much of it indigenous, outside of La Paz and the other big population centers in the country. And like most of the countries in Latin America, Bolivia has a complicated, shall we say, race question between the more white European blooded class in the country that is all in these countries that is often the wealthier class, the entitled, the landowning class, and the more indigenous and, of course, darker skinned native, as it were, peoples of these countries,
right,
that tend to be poorer, working class, and often, at least politically, unempowered in countries, you know, that should be their own. And, you know, I mean, there is no question that the U.S. for hundreds of years now and right up to this current day plays an outside, you know, a completely outsized role in determining the political course. There's no question that they have interfered in Latin America more than any other part of the world.
For sure. This was the first place that they started operating that way, and, yes, and they really developed it to a high science, more or less.
Yes, yes. And inevitably, it is always, of course, right-wing forces, dictatorships, military,
right,
billionaires, you know, oligarchs in these countries that the U.S. turns to,
right,
for their political support.
That's what we got here, as a matter of fact. We have here... and by the way, just to put a little you know, face on the 3 million people lifted out of poverty, population in Bolivia is about 11 million. So we're talking about 30% of the population lifted out of poverty over the last decade. In terms of the ethnic groups, the mestizos, who are, you know, mixed race people, about 68% of the population. The indigenous, you know, wholly indigenous, about 20%. So about 88% of the people are, you know, Native American, either wholly or partially. White European types, about 5%. They're the ones that have ruled for almost the entire history of Bolivia and still maintain a great deal of power behind the scenes, both as oligarchs and in terms of the deep military. And what we're talking about here, again, was exactly that. Masking as a color revolution, you know, behind this election that they clearly lost, was a military coup with the full backing of an oligarchy that is in bed with the United States. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I wanted to just give a little...
Yeah, absolutely. The opposition leader now, the person who was running against...
Right.
Morales is Carlos Mesa.
Right.
And Carlos Mesa was previously vice president under the corrupt neoliberal regime that was in power,
right,
before Morales swept to power,
right,
you know, some 12 years ago in elections and a leftist social movement, you know, that, again, brought the first indigenous leader of the country. Morales has served three terms in office. And there was a push from within his own party for him to continue on and run again as president. There are term limits that were politically questionable in the country. Or his party put forward through the legislature a referendum. And the referendum, and the results of the referendum, you know, should we remove term limits? The question was narrowly defeated, or in a very tight referendum race. But then the question went up to the Bolivian Supreme Court, and the Bolivian Supreme Court ruled that this imposition of term limits was illegal and unconstitutional in the first place, and that, you know, they never should have been enacted. So Morales was allowed to run again, and the results of the election. Bolivia has there's more than just these two parties running.
Right.
So although they are the, you know, the two main foes, you know, a left wing and a right wing.
Right.
And there's if Morales had achieved over 50% in the first round, or if he had defeated his opponent by more than 10%, at least 10%, then there wouldn't be a second round. And come the first round of the elections, it was fairly close on election night. But the final initial tally was that Morales won a plurality, and he won by more than 10 percentage points, which is huge by U.S.
That's right.
Political standards.
Right.
That he was reelected as president.
Right.
There is some question about the way the results were announced on election night. As there, Bolivia has what is as several other Latin Americans have, which have a what is called a quick count, which right. is essentially a semi-official
it's like a poll, basically.
An exit poll.
Right, exactly.
It's a semi-official official exit poll that is giving a quick idea of the results of the election, but it is not the official tally.
Yeah, like people have to understand, Bolivia and a lot of other parts of the world, you know, when you're talking about the rural areas, we're not talking about upstate New York or, you know, Kansas or whatever, where, you know, the internet service in rural areas here is a little slower than the internet service, say, in Manhattan. Rather, rural areas in Bolivia means that, you know, other than a few ox and a couple of horses that run through there, there's everything else is powered by human beings. And so the only way the vote count ends up in La Paz as a part of the tally is when the guy who runs with it down the dirt roads gets to La Paz with the vote count. So they have sampling tactics that they use to try to estimate this, but they don't get the actual totals sometimes for a day or two.
Yeah, for several days even.
Yeah.
So what happened is that the last closing tallies of the quick count showed that Carlos Mesa, the pro-U.S. right-wing opposition candidate, was just narrowly less than 10 points under Morales.
Right.
Meaning there was less than a 10-point gap, and there would be a second round of elections.
But Morales was ahead of him.
Morales was ahead by...
And what would be
it would be
a landslide in the United States.
Yeah,
United
States. Yeah, right. This was with some 80%, low 80s, right, of the vote tally in.
Right.
Now, once the official election count started, the quick count is stopped. So they stop reporting the quick count tally. And this is the way it has always been done.
Yeah, of course.
Because otherwise, you have two different election results being announced at the same time.
And places are reporting twice. Here's the estimate of what they reported there. Right. And here's the actual vote count of what they reported there. So they're twice as much voting.
To be perfectly honest, they ought to get rid of this quick count.
Right, of course. Take your time and announce the results when you have them. Right.
Anyway, so Carlos Mesa, of course, immediately called foul when the final official tally showed that the margin by which Morales beat him was by more than 10%, which means there wouldn't be a second round,
right,
and that Morales was elected president.
Right.
So,
and just so people know also, these same areas that are rural and therefore slow reporting and reporting first with estimates are exactly where the first indigenous president of Bolivia has the strongest support. It's in the indigenous, underdeveloped areas where the poor folks and rural folks live that he has done so much for.
Exactly. And this was actually all predicted. There were polls out, right, pre-election polls, that showed 5 out of 6 times that Morales winning by pretty much exactly what he actually won on election night.
Right.
Now, this, of course, didn't stop Carlos Mesa and his right-wing party, his U.S. backers, or the Organization of American States, a organization that has long suffered from American capture, with America funding 60% of its budget, and has repeatedly been used to try to delegitimize leftist leaders in South America,
right,
while thwarting an absolute blind eye, of course, to the atrocities committed by right-wing leaders, whether that's in Honduras or Ecuador or Brazil or elsewhere. The Organization of American States has long since stopped being any type of credible organization, and has just become a vehicle for neo-colonial interference by the U.S.
Right.
Into the affairs of Latin America.
Just, on that point, before you get into it, before we get too far from you mentioning before, that after the referendum on removing term limits in 2016 went down by a small margin, then the government or some people on behalf of the question of removing term limits made an application to the Constitutional Court, which you referenced, and the court found, in fact, that the term limits were unconstitutional. The basis for that were citations of the conventions of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights and the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, which both said that those kinds of term limits deprive voters of their choice to elect whoever they want, yada, 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 yada. Well, guess what? The Inter-American Commission on Human Rights and the Inter-American Court of Human Rights are both organs of the OAS. And in addition to that, Mr. Carlos Mesa is one of the senior people at the Inter-American Dialogue, which is also based in Washington, D.C., and is part of the OAS.
Of course it is, yeah.
So there, I just wanted to give people an understanding of exactly how loose these people play with this.
Yeah, and Carlos Mesa, you know, he's long been very outspokenly, as, you know, all these other right-wing leaders that the U.S. supports seizing power in Latin America, is openly pro-U.S. And strongly favors a U.S. Interference, you know, intervention in the rest of Latin America, because the countries need a big brother to guide them. I mean, those are literally his words. And
meanwhile, the group that he headed, he was one of the founders, I think, in 1978, the Revolutionary Left Front. He's a fake commie.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's long since dropped that pretense that he's any type of leftist. So, I mean, there was a brief moment in the 90s when the tide was the other way, and you had left-wing leaders in Venezuela and Ecuador and Honduras and Bolivia and Argentina, you know, to a lesser extent, but also in Argentina and Brazil. And now the tide has swept almost completely the other way once the U.S. started really focusing again on shoring up their hegemony, their political control, and Bolivia is one of these last of these countries. And while Morales wasn't high on the chopping list because he's not extremely proactive in pushing a left geopolitical agenda, he stayed focused on trying to improve the lives and governing his own country, which you know, of course, is nothing but admirable. But you know, his turn came when there's pretty much it's only Venezuela and Cuba left standing, and U.S. coup attempts against these countries
have failed, and Nicaragua.
But of course, after all of the evidence of so many attempted coup attempts in countries all across Latin America, including in just the last few years, right? With the U.S. declaring their own president of Venezuela in the last year, people still say, "Oh, what's your evidence that the U.S. is interfering in Bolivia?" And Carlos Mesa went to the United States, right, a few months ago, and came back having achieved $10 million for his campaign, which he immediately announced upon returning.
Wow.
And of course, it did not come from the U.S., according to him anyway.
Right.
It came from individual donations, which he won't be providing any paperwork or transparency and the usual, you know, apologists for U.S. hegemony and meddling around the world were immediately out in social media. Michael McFaul, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, a neocon serving under Obama, who He referred to himself as a color revolution specialist.
He's a fascist. He's definitely, the guy is a fascist. Well, you follow his Twitter. If you want to know, gee, if I want to learn how to write like a fascist, what kind of language do they use these days? Go check out Homeboy's Twitter feed, and there you go. You can teach a graduate course in it after about 3 weeks.
Okay, well, I wouldn't call him a fascist. I try to reserve fascist for the actual fascists, like the Banderites in Ukraine.
But that he helped to put in power.
That he is a neocon and a neoliberal, and he's a complete American exceptionalist who believes in the right of the U.S. To interfere in every other country in the world for their own good, of course, and the good of the rest of the world. Because when the U.S. does it, it can only be for good and democracy and so on.
And they get to interfere in Washington, too. He would have a coup tomorrow in Washington if he could get away with it. I mean, he doesn't even hide that.
Yeah, because Trump has disrupted the foreign policy of hegemony.
Right, that's the exactly.
Reason why. Right. Anyway, so about these Organization of American States complaints about that there was electoral irregularities and fraud in the election. All right, so the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a think tank, although not one of the sexy neocon or neoliberal ones, out of Washington, D.C., has, you can go right to their website, Center for Economic and Policy Research. It's a D.C.-based think tank, and they take a look at these accusations by the Organization of American States one by one, and they examine them with actual statistical evidence, and they show that there's no evidence. No, I'm reading right here. No evidence that Bolivian election results were affected by irregularities or fraud, statistical analysis shows. Examination finds tally sheets consistent with Evo Morales' first round victory. So if you're really interested, go read it yourself. And they say, you know, they go through everything, and the Organization of American States had cherry picked a few data sets and produced a graph saying, oh, that the the trend was going this way, and then after the quick count was stopped, it changed. And the Center for Economic Policy Research says no. Actually, the trend didn't change, and it was exactly expected because of all these. The last ones to count in were all of these rural voters in indigenous regions, which are overwhelmingly pro-Morales. It's what the pre-election polls predicted. It's what the Center for Economic Policy Research own trends predicted. And, that this is all hogwash. It's all absolute disinformation, and it is absolutely being used as justification for a coup attempt. And these right-wing party members, the people that do support this, have been rioting all over the country for the last few weeks.
Right. That's
They've
the color
been literally
revolution
been
cover.
Laying
right.
siege to and attacking the home. Burning the homes in some cases,
right, that's right.
Of the existing left, the ruling leftist party's leaders and supporters around the country. Right. Evo Morales's own home was ransacked and graffitied and looted and so on. And the same things have been done to government buildings.
You know, you have a tradition, by the way, of. The way these people, even these the nasty people that run U.S. imperialism for the United States, treating other heads of state with a certain, I don't know what, I would say dignity, but at least there's a certain respect that, you don't just send the hordes of, thugs out to their house to drag them out and string them up. I guess because they're afraid when their time comes that they're going to get dealt with that way, too. And as they should worry. But Morales, the only indigenous president right now in that region, if memory serves, and one of the few independently motivated indigenous presidents on the planet, outside of China and a couple of countries in Africa and Asia, that's about it. that he gets treated. How many people get their presidential plane pulled over by the cops and dragged down out of the air like they did to him back in 2013 when they were looking for Edward Snowden? Remember that?
Yeah.
And now they got thugs out there going to string him up if they find him.
So, and then in the last few hours, the head of the military, the Bolivian equivalent of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he evidently made an announcement that Morales should resign for the good of the country. Morales offered that he would temporarily step down and that the country should, if you don't believe these results, let's have another election.
Do it again.
And see me won again.
Right.
So what immediately happened is the right wing has swept the country and no one is talking about holding elections.
Yeah.
And obviously it's obvious that, you know, that as far as the military goes, that, you know, it was the CIA doing what the CIA always does right. So well in these cases, whether it was in Ukraine or in, you know, right. in Iraq, you know, that accompanied the U.S. invasion, or in Libya. That the CIA talks to the leaders of the police, the military, the security services,
right.
key politicians,
right.
and it talks to them in, you know, in making, offering carrots, offering sticks, blackmail, threats,
right.
whatever it takes,
right.
To get them to, you know, get on board or at least stand down
right.
and get out of the way. And that's what appears happened with the Bolivian military, which makes what's happening, you know, you change your classification from coup to junta.
Right.
Because it's the military actively being involved
right.
As well with the seizure of power by this right-wing opposition leader who was clearly not elected. If anyone was not elected,
that's right.
He was not elected. The only question is Morales, did he beat him the final tally by 10.2%
right.
or did he beat him by 9.9%?
Because
right?
the vice president should have been next, and then somebody, I think the Senate, somebody else, they made them all resign.
Yes. So, yeah, this is, you know, it's a right-wing coup. It's
yep.
very, almost very similar in a way without an election being involved. To what happened in Ukraine,
yep.
And of course, what happened in Honduras, you know, just a few years ago, with the obvious U.S. involvement and blessing,
and even Bolton's fantasy for Venezuela. This guy might as well be Juan Guaido. That's how much entitlement he has to be president.
Well, this guy obviously has more influence
right.
in Bolivia than John Guaido because
he's got the John military
or Guido. Pompeo called him.
Right.
Guido couldn't get anywhere near 30%, even 30%
right.
of an election.
That's right.
And the military told him to go pound sand
right.
When the U.S. tried to.
Right.
I mean, the U.S. actually was publicly threatening.
They were, I remember. And offering money.
Leaders, if you care about your family,
right. That's right.
you will support That's the person right. that we've declared president
right.
of your country. They were openly saying that. Yeah. Anyway, so if you want to follow what's really going on in Bolivia, I will give you a few names here.
Go
first
quick,
of all,
we got a minute.
Follow Anya Parampo,
right.
Previously of RT. She's at the Gray Zone Project
That's
now,
right. yep.
and she's been intimately involved in the region in Bolivia. She knows everything, and she just absolutely hit a ballpark running over the interviewer at Al Jazeera
yeah.
and completely debunking
the
yes. mainstream story on there. In a writing for The Nation a short time ago, right when the election was happening, is Mark Weisbro. The article is "The Trump Administration is Undercutting Democracy in Bolivia." Mark Weisbro, November
yep.
8th. And the other thing is follow this think tank, the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and in particular, Kevin Cashman.
Yep,
he's on Twitter at Kevin M. Cashman. He's been all over tweeting about this and you know, revealing what this fraud and claiming that the election was fraud.
Yep. All right, Mark, we got to stop here and appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.